All right, so here we go. Your top seven you played with or against, Clarkie, with or against over the course of your career. No particular order, is that right?
No order.
We
no
might try and order them.
Now, yeah, I'm sure you will. I'm sure the paper will tomorrow as well. But what I've done, because again, I come into international cricket, I think it was 2002. So when I started, there was only test cricket and one day cricket. And then through my career, 2020 cricket obviously come in. So I've tried to pick seven batsmen that I guess I probably looked up to or thought were brilliant across, you know, when I started, it was test cricket and one day cricket. And then a couple of the players I also have in that top seven become great in all three formats, but particularly 2020 cricket. So I'll go from the top. I've gone with, again, no specific order, but number one, Brian Lara from the West Indies. You know, probably my favourite batsman through my career. And you look at statistics, his average is probably not as high as some of the others I have on the list, but it was the way he played. It was the way he faced both fast bowling and spin. It was the success he had against Australia. That's the other thing about these seven batsmen that I've picked. They all dominated Australia. And you look at talk about the best attacks in the world. You think of McGrath, Gillespie, Brett Lee, Shane Warne, these guys bowling to these batsmen, and they all found a way to still have success. So Lara was my number one. Number two, Sachin Tendulkar from India. Again, unbelievable player. Probably technically the best batsman I ever saw. Sachin was probably the hardest batsman to get out, I found. And that's the other thing about a lot of these guys. They didn't give their wicket away. You had to fight every single time to try and get these guys out. Also from India, the current Indian captain, Virat Kohli. Again, another example of, I think right now, he's the best batsman across all three formats. He, you know, one day and 2020 records are phenomenal. And he's also found a way to dominate test cricket. What Kohli and Tendulkar have in common is they love making big hundreds. You look at their record, both of them. I think Sachin might have scored 100 international hundreds, and Kohli already is somewhere, you know, up there. He's not too far away.
He looks like a captain's nightmare, Clarkie.
Kohli
in particular, yeah. When you're in the field, it looks like he just can't be stopped. What is the key to stopping him?
Yeah, well, you've got to get him out early. You know, I think Sachin technically didn't have a weakness. There wasn't somewhere in a team meeting where you'd say, okay, let's bowl here to Sachin because he gets out like this regularly. He misses it and gets LBW, so let's attack the stumps. There was nothing he could do to Sachin like that. It was nearly like part of you hope that he made a mistake. That's how he'd get himself out. Kohli has a tiny little area where you can attack early on in his innings, but once he gets in, he's so dangerous.
Why would they try and sledge Kohli though, Clarkie? He seems to me like the more you sledge him, the more he loves it.
Yeah, well, I don't think. Well, it varies, you know. I feel some players think by winding him up, he might try and play that big shot early out of aggression or frustration. But yeah, I sort of feel Kohli's one of those players that you're better off saying nothing to and just allow him to hopefully be a little bit sleepy at the start of his innings and make a mistake.
Yeah, it was interesting. In the test, actually, the documentary before the India series a couple of summers ago, the tactic was don't talk to him. Just completely ignore him. That was a directive from Tim Payne and the team. Let's just completely blank him, even if you know him, play with him in the IPL. So they did try the opposite psychology, so to speak. Still didn't really work, though, did it?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a... Everybody knows how powerful India are in regards to the financial part of the game, whether that be internationally or domestically in regards to the IPL. So I feel Australian cricket, and probably every other team over a little period, went the opposite. They actually sucked up to India.
Yeah.
They were too scared to sledge Kohli or sledge the Indian players because they had to go and play with them in April. And they wanted their, you know, if Kohli's a captain in the IPL, Rohit Sharma's a captain in the IPL, you know, name a list of 10 players.
Yeah.
They're bidding for these Australian players to get into their IPL team. So the players are like, well, I'm not going to sledge Kohli. I want him to pick me for Bangalore so I can make you know, $1 million for my 6 weeks. And I sort of feel that was where Australia went through that little phase of our cricket become a lot softer or not as hard as what we're accustomed to seeing.
Number four.
Two South Africans I've got in my top seven. Jacques Kallis, who I probably thought was the greatest all-rounder that I played against. Again, you look at his numbers statistically and they are phenomenal, but the impact he had against Australia, the way he was able to score runs against our attack was extraordinary. And then, as I've mentioned before, AB de Villiers, another one that, to me, you know, I'm hoping he comes back and plays for South Africa, certainly in the shorter format. And there's talk he was going to be involved in this T20 World Cup coming up in Australia. Superstar, unbelievable, can bat anywhere in the order, dominates T20 cricket.
You know you're allowed to put Australians in this list too, Clarkie.
I do, mate. One of them anyway. Played with or against. But yeah, the way he plays, he can score runs anywhere around the ground, and that's what probably separates, like I say, him and Kohli from the rest in all three formats at the moment.
You know what, Clarkie?
Ricky Ponting?
I was going to say, we might save the final two, but you've let the cat out of the bag. You've got to put the punter in there. Go for gold.
Yeah. Ricky Ponting would certainly be in my top seven. He's probably the best Australian batsman that I played with. And again, it's tough because there's a lot of, I've been lucky to play with so many great batsmen. You know, I think of Matthew Hayden, Steve Smith, David Warner, Adam Gilchrist, Damian Martin was a genius as well. So many wonderful players. Michael Slater was my idol growing up. I loved watching Slats bat. But I think what separates Ricky to the rest is the era he played in. So the bowlers he come up against, you think from West Indies, Curtly Ambrose, Courtney Walsh, from South Africa, Alan Donald, Sri Lanka, Murali, and Shaminda Vaas. Who else have I got? Pakistan, he faced Wasim Akram, Waqar Yunus. So just about every attack had two or three top-line, world-class bowlers, and Ricky was able to dominate, whether it be through the start of his career or all the way to the end. So I've gone with Ricky as my best Australian batsman I played with. And then the other one that seems to be forgotten regularly, but he was and is a great of the game, Kumar Sangakkara from Sri Lanka. His statistics are phenomenal. He batted at number three in what I thought was the toughest position. He scored runs in all formats, but particularly Test and One Day cricket. I think he might have scored three centuries in a World Cup at one stage, Kumar Sangakkara, but also wicket-kept as well. You know, batting at number three, captaining your country and keeping. Huge ask, but he was, Sanger was a freak, an absolute gentleman of the game. Still has a huge impact in and around cricket through the ICC now. And yeah, he makes my top seven as well. So they're the guys I've gone for. Like I say, no order, no particular order, but, you know, seven of the best that I ever played with.